Friends, listen to today's reading from the beginning of the letter to the Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we have heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and of the love that you have for all the saints. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, you have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you, just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so that it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, and as you bear fruit in every good work, and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins.
Friends, will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. My grandmother, Ruth, she kept a diary every day of her adult life. Every day of her adult life, in the morning and the evening, she would write something in this diary. And when she passed away, before she did, she asked my sister, the one pursuing the PhD in history, if she would take her diaries and read through them in order to share them with the rest of the family, that we might learn from her wisdom, but more importantly, that we might share her joy. My sister said yes, and I think still was unprepared for the fact that she was going to not just get a book or even a box of books, but literal cases after cases after cases of diaries my grandmother had kept. And among the many startling things she found and the joys that were unearthed is this, that every single day, at the bottom of the diary would be one thing that my grandmother would write, and that is whether or not she received any letters and who they were from. She didn't do it to keep score or keep track of who was sending more letters. She didn't even do it to record what was in those letters, but instead to celebrate and remember the unexpected joy of finding a note in the mailbox, of being remembered, and of hearing truth, whether it be good news or hard. In another one of the boxes were many of those letters that she had saved. My sister was unable to determine if she saved all of them, which is unlikely, but clearly the letters in that box, they were worn around the edges. My grandmother, you see, hadn't just saved them, but went back to those letters time and again to read them, to remember the unexpected joy. The reaction in Colossae would have been overflowing joy at the news that a letter had arrived at their small, tiny church. Word would have spread around that city, and whatever people were doing and whatever space they found themselves, they would have come running to hear, running to experience the unexpected joy of a letter, of being remembered, and of hearing good news. For to be in that tiny church, and make no mistake about it, this church dwarfs the size of that church. But to be in that tiny church in the times in which the letter was written would have been no easy thing. For you see in Colossae, that small town on the crossroads of life and empire, the world seemed to be shifting and changing underneath the people's feet. That small but alive church, they were struggling to figure out how to live in the midst of all of it faithfully and fully. We will be spending time with this letter in the summer, and as we go through it, you're going to hear how the people felt they never quite got it right. And not just they felt it, but they were constantly criticized by others. Good, upright religious folks who kept telling them that they were falling short in so many ways, in how they ate, in how they worshiped, in how they dressed, who they hung out with, and so much more. And I can imagine this letter would have felt like a tether in the storm, something that would have grounded them in the people they would have come running. I have to admit that as I listened to Casey read the letter beautifully this morning, it brought back memories of seminary and of studying Paul, and how, if you can follow Paul's stream of thought through that entire reading, then that is great. But I got to imagine that in that town, they read this letter over and over again, not just to hear the great words, but to make sure they fully understood what Paul was saying. Paul wrote with depth of conviction. Paul wrote with depth of thought. But see, here in the opening to this letter, there are a couple of really important things that shape the whole rest of the letter, and it's on those things that I want to pay some attention. He doesn't enter into the fray on the particulars of what it means to live a faithful life, of how we should eat or dress or who we should hang up out with, but rather he tries to lift their hearts above the fray. To remember what matters, and here in this opening thing, Paul thunders that what matters is God's loving grace poured out for them, not because of anything they have done or will ever do, because that's what grace is. It is something given freely and fully without merit and without expectation. Grace and the gift of God, you see, the love of Christ, is something that is a simple gift that none of us have earned. I think that's something that's incredibly, if not impossible, to accept in a world that places so much emphasis on meritocracy. So much emphasis on what we've achieved, what we do, and who we are. But what Paul is writing is that the beauty of accepting this gift as grace, accepting this gift as something not that we have earned but been given, is first it means we can never lose it because we didn't earn it in the first place, right? But the second thing is that once we get past that whole earning notion, once we get past of all those details, we can take our part in that great vine that has been growing in hope since the beginning of creation. Once we allow the seed that God gives us to blossom in our hearts into fruit, then we can live our whole lives rightly, giving away that blessing to others, that it might bear fruit in others, that the ongoing story of God's salvation, which has already happened, might be spread to anyone and everyone who needs it. And in this beginning of the letter, Paul talks about two things. One, he acknowledges that this love and grace applies both to the cosmic and to the personal. Addresses both those huge things that hang over our heads, right? Those things that we lifted up, like the hurricane that's bearing down on Louisiana, like the detention centers that seem to go against our very being. Maybe things like the warming climate. That it applies to those big things just as it does to the big things in our lives. Whether it's joys or sorrows, whether it's bee stings, health scares, or the very joy of life. Paul reminds us that we are to accept all these things that we might endure in the midst of everything and anything that life might throw at us. Because remember, peace does not mean to be in a place where there is no stress or hurt or pain, but it means to be this, to hold on to hope in the midst of everything that life can throw at us. But Paul writes that once we accept that and once we live it, we will just naturally become part of it, giving away, planting those seeds that they might blossom in others. What does that look like in a real world way? Let me give you an example from right here in the Berkshires. Every Monday, every Wednesday, and every Saturday, from 10 in the morning until 2 p.m., there is a ministry of fruit bearing and seed planting that is happening right down the road. Likely you've never seen it. Likely you've never heard of it, because it takes place on West Street, just off of Lime Kiln Road in Sheffield. Out in the middle of nowhere, under a lean-to. There, other small churches of the Berkshires, Christ Trinity in Sheffield, First Parish in Sheffield, and Grace Church of Great Barrington, each take turns on a different day offering a gift of ministry and presence to those hiking the Appalachian Trail. There, set aside on the road, there is a grill that is offering food of all kinds. There are rides offered into town for anyone who needs it. There are phone chargers. There are hiking supplies. And there is food. But most of all, this ministry is a ministry of unexpected presence and companionship. There are 15 chairs placed out in the shade that these people who are on this trek, whether they started in Georgia and going to Maine or started in Maine and going to Georgia, can simply take a break for a while and rest their bodies. But more than that, in talking to the volunteers who spend time there, what they will tell you is that more than for their bodies or their bellies, what people are most thankful for is the blessing of companionship. For them to share what has crept onto their hearts and minds as they walk on the trail. For them to come out of the loneliness of the woods and into the companionship of each other. There, sitting alongside the road in the most simple way, what Paul is talking about in his complex sentence structure is playing out. And that is this, that in unexpected, unearned, unmerited ways, the people of those three churches are simply meeting the people on the Appalachian Trail where they are needed and simply offering nothing more than the gift of themselves. But here's the thing. In talking to the volunteers, this is what else they will tell you. Because they remember that they're coming from a church, because this is coming out of their faith, they are comfortable to be there. They don't spend time trying to solve all the problems for the people on the trail. Instead, they just simply offer them the grace and peace of God freely, that they might take it with them for the rest of their hike, whether heading north or south, whether finally just rid of the mountains or about to start them. I wonder how far down it is the path that one of the people who've received that blessing recalls that memory. I wonder when they first run into something that is hard and painful, how they lean on that moment to remember that there is joy and grace waiting to come their way. And perhaps even more importantly, I wonder when they accept that gift so freely and so lovingly offered that they can simply turn around and offer it to someone else in need on the trail as well. seeds bearing fruit, creating new seeds to bear new fruit. What Paul wants us to remember in this letter is that it's not all up to us. The seed has already been planted, and it has already flourished, and all we need to do is accept it and then do the hard work of, yes, passing it on. I wonder how many times the people in Colossae came back amidst the news of the day that was troubling, news of empire, news of struggle, how many times they came back to share in these memories again. I wonder how long it took them to finally stop listening to all the people out there who were criticizing the way they lived, worshiped, ate, and spent time, and simply let the grace of God dwell in their hearts. I know this about my grandmother. She read those letters over and over and over again. And I honestly can say I'm not sure that I remember anyone in my life who is so freely willing to simply share in your joy as my grandmother. Anyone who is simply willing to put herself aside to simply help joy blossom in you. Friends, that is what I believe is at the heart of this reading today. And it's such a beautiful way to start our journey into this letter to the Colossians. Amen.